In the beginning, in the form of God, with just a word you sang creation's song. But when by sin humanity was marred, you took on flesh to save a world gone wrong. At Calvary, the soldiers chose the nails to fasten you upon the cruel tree. The hammer drove into your sinless hands the nails you chose to pay sin's penalty.
You are the Christ, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursue. No other name deserves my praise. You are my life, my all, and I belong to you. Triumphantly prevailing over hell, you broke sin's curse by rising from the dead, parading captives forth in victory. You freed my soul and crushed the serpent's head. And when one day redemption is complete,
I gaze at last upon your face unveiled. My voice shall echo through eternity. In spite of me, your saving grace prevailed.
You are the Christ, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name deserves my praise.
You are my life, my all.
You are my life, my all.
You are my
life, my all.
And I belong to you.
Folks, for the good song this morning, open your Bible in the New Testament to 1 Peter chapter 5. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, it's toward the end of the New Testament. And there are two books or letters written by the pen of the Apostle Peter, 1st and 2nd. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. And give you just a moment to find your place there. And we'll stand in honor of God's Word and read the first three verses of this chapter this morning. Thanks again for being here for the service. Wonderful song for us about the Lord Jesus today. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. Would you please join me on verse number 2, and I'll read 1 and 3. Follow along. I'm reading 1 Peter 5, 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now, I want to simply preach this morning on the subject of the flock. You'll see it mentioned there in verse 2 and in verse 3, the subject of the flock. Father, bless today as we get into your word now. Thank you for the good music that's prepared our hearts for the message. Fill us with your Spirit, both speaker and listener. May the Holy Ghost have His way in this service and our lives today. We'll thank you for it. God, you have planned and prepared something for us. May we not miss it because of being distracted. May we concentrate and have our minds drawn to your Word. And would you help us today is my prayer in Christ's name. and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Let me encourage you to leave your Bible that passage there in 1 Peter 5. A local church is a wonderful institution. Truth is, there are only three institutions that are ordained or were ordained of God. Of course, one would be the home or family, two would be government, and three would be what we know as the local New Testament church. Now, most of your New Testament in the Bible was written to local churches. The book of Romans, the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians was not written to one church, but rather a large number of churches in the area of Galatia. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were all written to local churches. The book of Acts has much about the starting of local churches. Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus were pastors of churches, and so letters were written to them about their churches. And the book of Philemon was written to a man who was starting a church in his house. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there are seven letters written to seven local churches located in the country of or the area of Asia Minor. So you can see a lot of your New Testament is written to or about local churches. Now, God uses many illustrations in the New Testament to teach us about how a church functions and works. We looked at one of those last Sunday night, been looking at it on Wednesday nights. He uses the illustration of a body. He also uses the bride, a bride. He uses a building. He uses husbandry or agriculture or tillage to teach us about how a local church functions or teaches truths about the church. Then he in 1 Peter chapter 5 here, he uses the word flock. He uses a flock to teach us about a local church. Now, Peter is writing to pastors. You see the word elders in verse number 1, the elders which are among you. And you have to go back to the beginning of this letter to see that he was writing to people who were scattered all over the known world, saved people, scattered all over the known world. That's who 1 Peter is written to. And then he writes in chapter 5 specifically to the elders. The word is synonymous with the word pastor, especially when you realize the word pastor means shepherd. And in this passage, Peter is referring to the church as a flock and his people as sheep, the people of God as sheep. And there is a shepherd, okay? So it's talking about the shepherd and the flock. And even though this is written more to the shepherd than it is to the flock, I want to give you some truths this morning about the flock from these verses. Three or four things to think about when it comes to the church. Number one, I want you to see that the flock needs to be fed. The flock needs to be fed. Look at verse number 2 where it says, feed the flock of God. And I'm sorry, men especially, this is not referring to good old grits and bacon and sausage, okay? This is talking about spiritual food, okay? Obviously, since Peter is using terms like flock and shepherd here, he is referring to a flock of sheep. Sheep, like all other animals, have to eat to be healthy. This is not the only place in the New Testament where the Bible tells us that the flock needs to eat. In Acts 20 and 28, he says, Paul speaking there says, take heed to all the flock to feed the church of God. Peter had been commissioned by Jesus Christ personally in John chapter 21. You remember the time when Jesus came to rescue Peter from quitting the ministry. When he went back to fishing, he said, I'm done following Christ. I can't do this. And Jesus came and personally rescued him from quitting. And there by the fire where Jesus had the bread and the fish prepared, he called Peter back to himself. And he told Peter, he asked him, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you asked me three times. Yes, I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So Jesus is telling Peter here, Peter, if you love me, feed my flock. If you love me, feed my people. Peter, love my people enough to feed them because sheep need to be fed. Sheep need nutrition. I think about the great shepherd psalm. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Very familiar to everybody. I think what the Bible says there, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Food and water. Food and water. Nutrition, sustenance. God's people need to be fed. God's people need nutrition. The flock needs to be fed. Now, folks, obviously, you know, God's will is for each one of His people / sheep. You and me, okay? God's will is for each one of us to graze and feed ourselves in the green pastures of His Word. In other words, I have a responsibility and you have a responsibility to God to sit down and read His book and to feed ourselves. This is where our grazing takes place right here. The Bible is nutritious food. It is referred to in the Bible as milk, meat, bread, and water. It is nutrition for your soul. What the food is to our physical body, this book is to our spirit and our soul. And those of you folks who have gone to church here for over these years, you know, there has been a constant theme from this pulpit, and I've never apologized for it. Don't apologize for it again today. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The reason some folks don't grow is they're not eating. They're not feeding. You're not feeding. You're not reading. That's a constant emphasis. Jim Vineyard, who just went to heaven recently, he said this in our church many, many years ago, and heard him say other places. He said, a Christian who goes without his Bible for 30 days is capable of doing anything. And I fully believe that and have even seen it take place. I will say it again. Most people don't read because they don't have a structured time and place. You don't have a time and place. The details of your life are too ambiguous. You're not setting a schedule to read God's Word. It's not that you wake up of a morning and say at the beginning of the day, I am not reading the Bible today. I don't think you take that approach. I think what happens is you plan to read the Bible just when you get around to it. And folks, when it's that ambiguous, when it's that uncertain, you're never going to get around to it. Not going to get to it. So you need a schedule. You need a time and a place. Most of us are creatures who live by some sort of a schedule. Some people have a more detailed schedule than others. Some people have schedules set for them. Others have more liberty to set their schedules, okay? But, you know, you need to have, wherever you are in life, you want to have a structure, a set time, and a set place to read the Bible. Do you know, I was doing some research and reading this week on this business of sheep. And I read where it said that sheep graze either, and I actually wrote this in this morning because I already had the sermon written and I was doing some reading after the message I had written on paper. It said in this article that sheep graze by default or design. They graze by default or design. But they said the best way for a sheep to graze is by design. It's on purpose. You know, sheep, and I think about out where I live, our farmer neighbors up the road from us have a few head of sheep. It's not many, a few head of sheep. And the farmer moves those sheep from pasture to pasture. They feed here for a while, then he takes them, loads them up, moves them down the road. There's a friend of his that has a little acres down there, and they feed there for a while. And then they'll feed there for a while, then he'll move them to another pasture. He's feeding them by design. If that doesn't happen, they eat up all the good and tender grass shoots, and it gets down to the stalks and the stuff that is tough, and it's not good for them and their nutritional benefit. So they graze by design. They move from pasture to pasture to pasture. And I would say the reason some people don't grow as Christians and they're not nutritiously strong as God's people is they don't graze by design. Get a place. Get a time. Get a schedule. You know, and I am not for just, you know, reading the Bible so I can check off a box. But I'll tell you that a schedule does help. And if you're not used to it, okay, if you're not used to it, don't be a hero. Don't be Superman. You know, get you a schedule that you read through the New Testament in a year's time. That's not difficult. Okay? But get a place, get a time, and feed, graze on God. The flock needs to be fed. And folks, how many times this year? What is this? Fifth, sixth, seventh time in the calendar year, 2017, that I have come in a message and said to our church, graze. Graze. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Why? Because it's so easy to fall off the wagon. So easy to fall out of the habit. It's so easy to fall off the schedule. So God's people need to feed. They need to be, the flock must be fed. But then I want to say this. As a pastor shepherd, I am told to feed the people. I am told to feed the sheep. That's really what Peter is saying here. He's saying to the elders, and he's one of them. He said, our responsibility is to feed the flock. People, it is not in my job description to entertain you. I never approach a message writing in humor. Now, if humor comes, amen. If humor fits, amen. But that's not what I'm worried. I am far more concerned about will this message feed our people rather than will it make them laugh. We need to be fed. We need to be fed. We need to be fed, fed, fed without feeding. God's people get weak. They get malnourished. They get sickly. Some in this church, your Christian life is sickly right now. And it's not because of anything other than the fact that you're just not eating. Just not eating. You got to eat, folks. You've got to graze on this book or you're going to get spiritually weak and spiritually sick. People can eat the wrong kind of food. People can eat unclean food. Did you read about that guy? I read about him on the Fox News this week on the internet where a soldier that defected from North Korea to South Korea. He ran across the demilitarized zone there, the DMZ. They shot him five times before he could reach the South Korean side. Shot him five times. None of the shots were fatal. They put him into surgery over there, and those South Korean doctors were working on him, but they were having difficulty getting him stabilized, not because of the bullet wounds that he suffered. They were having difficulty getting him stabilized because of the parasites and the worms that were in his body. Filled with parasites. They had a picture of an 11-inch worm in that man's intestinal tract. 11 inches, about like fish we catch, you know what I mean? You know, okay, you know how 11 inches can get big, right? They had a picture of an 11-inch worm. And what they were saying was the living conditions in North Korea are so despicable, it's so dirty, that sanitization, being sanitized and clean is difficult. You know, we told you before, our granddaughters, you know, one of the biggest things they face physically in Madagascar is worms. They have to stay on that medicine, constantly. Because it's so dirty. In this article, it talks about these sheep eating. One of the reasons why sheep have to be moved from pasture to pasture to pasture to pasture is because once all the green is gone and they start eating the stalks and the parasites and the germs, the bacteria, come up out of the dirt and they're actually eating parasites and they're eating bad bacteria. And I'm simply saying, look, you know, people, God's people must be fed. Must be. The flock must be fed. That's Bible reading. That's reading the Word of God. That's coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached in Sunday school. Hearing the Word of God taught and taking in the Bible and eating and taking the Bible. Eating and taking in the Bible. I'm talking about Bible-based Sunday school curriculum and Bible-based messages so that God's people get a good, balanced meal when they come to church. That's my responsibility. That's part of my oversight as a pastor is to make sure that God's people get properly fed. Properly fed. The church, the flock must be fed. I tell you, I struggle. There are times when I struggle. I talk to our assistant pastors about it. I don't know how to change it. I don't know if I can change it. But I struggle sometimes with just the number of people that are out of this service right now. The number of adults and teenage young people that are out of this service right now, serving over in the nursery, serving over in the kids' ministries in the other building, working with the handicapped people, all of that is necessary. But you know, sometimes we run our bus routes on Saturday, have our Sunday schools on Saturday, and come in here on Sunday morning, I look out and I go, wow, this place is full. You take 30, 25, 30 adults out of a morning service week after week after week. That's why we have policy that we do. It says, you know what? If you're not in two of the four main services every week, if you're here twice and you're only sitting in the auditorium once, you're going to have to give up that serving spot. You say, well, you're trying to be mean? No, I'm trying to keep you fed. I'm trying to keep you fed. You got, the flock must be fed. Must be. The Bible's got to come into the Christian's heart and life. The Bible, the Word of God. So the flock needs to be fed. This is the source of the food that we need to be spiritually healthy and good condition. The flock must be fed. Now, number two. Look here with me, if you will, in verse number two again. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Then look at verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Not only does the flock need to be fed, the flock needs to be led. The flock needs to be led. He told these pastors, Peter did. He said, I'm one of you. He said, I'm writing to myself. He said, look, the flock needs to be led. Take the oversight of the flock. Now, what does that mean? That means that God's people, the flock, they need an example. They need a model. They need an illustration. That's what an example is. An example is how to. So God's people, not only to be fed with good nutrition, they need to be led by good example. Led by good example. Now, look, I'm archaic when it comes to the computer, but I have taken advantage of the Internet. One of the advantages of the Internet is the information that you can get for things that you need to do around the house. And I tell you what I have benefited from, and I know it's dangerous, and you've got to be careful, and you've got to go online, circumspect, and considering what you're about to do. But man, have those how-to YouTube videos been a help at my house. Oh my goodness. I have literally taken my laptop out to the garage with a video expanded to full screen. All right, and I've got my chair, and I'm changing brakes, I'm fixing electric door window motors, and I push play and pause, and then I do what he says, and then I push play again, and then I do what he says, and you know what? It's worked. I just follow the example. And I, you know, about 10 seconds is all my mind can wrap around. Amen? So 10 seconds, boom, now I can do this. 10 more seconds. Huh? And more than just on vehicles, in the house. You guys have done this. I've talked to some of you. And you go in there and you start, you know how to do this, and here comes all this stuff, and it's incredible. You just follow the example. You follow the model. You follow the how-to. Now, I am not going to talk about my example this morning as your shepherd. Although that's a part of it. That's a part of what Peter is saying to his fellow preachers. He's saying, boys, you've got to be careful because sheep need to be led. And you're an example. You better be a good example. And sometimes that's one of those things that will keep me awake at night, tossing and turning a little bit. And my wife will say to me the next morning, you had trouble going to sleep last night. And I said, yeah, I tossed and turned a little bit. And one of the things that does that to me is, am I being the right kind of example that will help folks grow in God's grace at Faith Baptist Church? I think about that. I think about it often. But the point I want to make this morning is this. God's people need an example. He said we did. He said the flock needs an example. The flock needs to be led. Every child of God needs an example to show them how to. And it's not just a written thesis on paper, but a living, live example. This is how you live for God. And every child of God needs that. And I get aggravated, I guess frustrated in my flesh sometimes when I pick up a spirit. Usually it's a man, once in a while a woman, but I pick up a spirit of, I'm just my own man. Nobody is self-made. Nobody is self-made. Everybody is following somebody. There's nobody in this room that's just out there on their own. I don't care who you are. There's some example, there's some person, either by way of book or by way of internet, blog, or by way of somebody you've known in the past. But that's God's people. God's people need to be led. They need to be led. A flock must be led. You need somebody. You need a life that you can watch. Hit the play button and then the pause button. You younger women at Faith Baptist Church, you need to find an older woman at Faith Baptist Church and let them be your example. You girls, you teenage girls, and you elementary school girls, junior high girls, whatever age you are, you need to look around in Faith Baptist Church and see some of these older teenagers who are living for God, and these young adult ladies who are living for God, and these gray-haired saints who spent a lifetime living for God, and let them be your example. The same thing for the young men. You know, Paul had Barnabas, and he followed Barnabas' example. And Timothy had Paul. And faithful men had Timothy. Faithful men had Timothy. Because everybody needs somebody or several somebodies as a pattern, as a model. And some of you would greatly benefit from getting under the example of another Christian. I don't understand why people seem to be opposed to adopting what they see and hear from another Christian and you know, resisting putting it to work in their own. You know, we're willing to take how to change brakes from somebody else, but we won't take any advice on how to read our Bible. That's odd stuff to me. That's odd. We want advice about money. We want advice about investments. But when it comes to the Christianity, no, I'm just doing my own thing. Where'd that come from? The flock must be led. The flock has to be led. The example may not be necessarily the best or a perfect example. Rarely is it, because we're all human. But we're never charged to be the best. We are charged to do our best. I'm glad I came to that realization many, many years ago, reading the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul told Timothy, "You be thou an example of the believer." He didn't say, "You be the best." He said, "You be an example." And I have never labored under the pressure to be the best, but I have labored under the responsibility of being an example. And you adult Sunday school teachers, the same is true about you. You need to be an example of the believer. You need to be an example that the folks in your Sunday school class can follow. And that's true about, look, all of us need somebody to set the example, to pave the way, to go before us. And we choose a life and we look at it and think about it and ponder it. And in some cases, pattern our life after it. The sheep, the flock must be fed. The flock must be led. Now, let me say this morning, number three. Not only must the flock need, the flock must be fed and led, but the flock needs to be wed. W-E-D. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked, because here we go. Look at verse 2. He said in verse number 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." What Peter is saying here, he's saying, boys, he's saying, pastors, you lead your people. Those which are among you. Sometimes I travel to speak to other congregations or groups of people. This past Monday, early Monday morning, Joyce and I got on the plane to go up to Toronto, and then they picked us up. We drove an hour and 15 minutes north to Barrie, Ontario, Canada. Had a wonderful time where I spoke to the people of Heritage Baptist Church. She spoke to a ladies' group, and they had other churches visiting. I do that a couple times a month. I go out and I speak, but people, those are not my people. They're not my sheep. That's not my flock. Usually, you know, if I'm a visiting speaker, man, I'm in and out in sometimes less than 48 hours. I mean, I have landed and right from the airport in a vehicle to a remote town, walked right into the church service, and 15 minutes later been up in the pulpit preaching, and Wednesday morning fly out at 6:30, 7 o'clock. I am on the ground less than 36 hours almost. You're in and you're out. You're in and you're out. I'm there for a brief time. But I am among you. You are the flock that God has made me a part of and has exhorted me to feed and to lead. And the truth of the matter is, some of you don't come around enough to benefit. You just don't. You need to get wed. You need to get locked in. You need to get planted in the house of the Lord. Psalms talks about that. This little hour-long visit to church once a week, you might as well put Catholic behind your name. That's all it is. What are we doing, folks? You know, tipping God by coming an hour a week to church? Now, I'm not talking about people who have physical difficulties, who are elderly, are doing good to get here one service a week. And by the way, those with physical difficulties fight through a lot to get here more than once a week. They really do. You know what I read about sheep? I read that sheep have a strong flocking instinct. They group up. I see Brian shaking his head back there. Brian's agriculture. All I got to do is drive down my road. I look in the field and that flock of sheep is all bunched in one spot. He moves them down another part, another pasture. Hell, you know, they may be spread out, but not much. They're kind of all. And when I took Kennedy, Alan and Abby's little girl, down to see the sheep, I walked out into the pasture and they all bunched together. And they moved together. One big flock. Sheep have a flocking instinct. Sheep have a flocking instinct. So do God's people. They have a flocking instinct. Got to get around another Christian. Got to get around God's people. Got to go somewhere where they're singing God's praises and worshiping God and getting the Bible open and enjoying some godly music. They have a flocking instinct. If you can just kind of just go through your life just on your own with no flocking instinct, that's not characteristic of a sheep. Well, God just used sheep. God just used sheep. He just, poor God, just doesn't have much going on, right? So He just kind of randomly chose sheep and stuck it in the Bible as an example of His flock. But He certainly had no thought about what sheep are like. Do you really believe that? I think He used sheep on purpose to show us what we need. Sheep need to be led, fed. Sheep need to be led. And sheep need to be wed. Now, you know, folks, unless you're physically unable, get to church when the doors are open. Get there when there's Bible being preached. All it takes is one service for God's Spirit to reach down and change your life. Change your life. Some of you, you want a preacher, but you don't want a pastor. You want somebody to preach to you, but you don't want anybody to meddle in your life. You don't want a shepherd. Back in line. Come on. You don't want, no. Just tickle my ears. All I want is just somebody to preach to me. Don't meddle. All I want is sound doctrine. How many times have I heard that nonsense? Then you run over to Titus, where Paul said, be sure and give the people sound doctrine. And tell the older men how to behave. And tell the older women how to behave. And tell the younger men how to behave. And tell the younger women how to behave. That's sound doctrine. You change the Bible, get you a different version. Okay? You want a preacher, but you don't want a pastor. I am a preacher to those groups of people that I visit. But I am pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And I take this business of trying to feed you seriously. And I take this business of trying to lead you seriously. I hope you benefit to some degree. It's not just my opinion when it says, when it's thus saith the Lord. You may like the dynamics of the preaching, but don't meddle in my life. The flock needs to be fed. The flock needs to be wed. Led, the flock needs to be wed. You will not grow as a Christian unless you are wed to a group, a congregation of people where you can be led and you can be fed as part of the flock. And then I want to say, last of all, that the flock is rightly bred. The flock is rightly bred. By that, I mean we're not goats. We're sheep. Goats in the Bible is used to picture those who are not the people of God. Sheep is used to picture those who are the people of God. You become a person of God, a child of God, a sheep, if you will, by being bred properly by the Lord Jesus Christ through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That's the only thing that makes somebody a born-again child of God. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not one of God's sheep. And if you're not one of God's sheep, friend, when all of this is ended, when life is over, and we all go out into eternity, your place will be apart from God, apart from Christ, in that awful place called hell. Sheep are properly bred by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. If you've never trusted Him to be your Savior, you ought to be saved while there's time. The flock. The flock needs to be fed. The flock needs to be led. The flock needs to be wed. And the flock needs to be properly bred. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank You for listening this morning. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Word, for all it teaches us. I thank You, God, for the privilege to preach it this morning to these dear people. I'd rather preach in this pulpit than anywhere else. Thank You for this group of people You've allowed me to be a part of and preach to. And Father, I pray that the Word has gone forth from this pulpit in a way that people can feed together. And the example of living right and being right is such that people can grow. Not just mine, but the example of other people in the church. And Lord, help us to participate enough to benefit. And then, Lord, I pray this morning, if anybody's here who's never been born again by the Lord Jesus Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection, I pray that You might speak to that heart this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if at some point this morning the Spirit of God came by where you sit and spoke to your heart specifically about something that was mentioned. Maybe it was when I was talking about reading the Bible. Folks, it always gets a little quiet and still. And I think it's because that's something that we all battle with. Maybe it's the part about being led or wed. You say, Pastor, at some point during the message, the Spirit of God came by my pew this morning and spoke to my heart. And I'm just going to raise my hand as an acknowledgement of that. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're sitting, well fed, well led? God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Many hands. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here among us would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If the only way to salvation, to heaven, is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I'm not sure what that's all about. I have no assurance that when I die, I'll go to heaven. That's me. I have no assurance of that. Would you just slip your hand up so I can ask the Lord to help you speak to your heart? Anybody like that here today? Front to back, side to side, member, visitor, doesn't matter. Anybody. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, never been baptized, I would invite you to come and follow the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism this morning. Maybe you came for that purpose today. But if God visited your heart this morning, if God spoke to you specifically about one of these areas of the flock, please don't be remiss. Deal with it. Let God have His way in your heart and life this morning. Father in heaven, I pray that You'll speak to the hearts of every person in this room. Thank You for speaking to those who raised a hand. Lord, may we not just now let it go in one ear and out the other. Help us to make adjustments and changes, to add things and delete others so that we can properly grow in grace. God, help us to be fed and led, and wed, and Lord, most of all, properly bred through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning. God spoke to your heart. Hands were raised. You be tender to come and spend a few minutes here. Let the Lord deal with you as we wait. While we wait this morning, properly fed, properly led. You don't want to feed grazed by default. You want to graze by design, on purpose, structure. Pick out a good example. Follow them. Let that person be a lead in your life. The flock of God. God's people are sheep. While we wait this morning, some are praying. You join them if you need to. We have time. We're not in a hurry. They're playing that good old hymn of invitation, just as I am, I come. And that's the best way to come to Jesus, just like you are. Let Him take you this morning. Make you one of His own sheep.